fact, I'm going to call to order the Industrial Education, Economic Development, Finance, and Policy Committee. Ms. Schaefer, will you take the roll?
Pawlowski.
Present.
Pawlowski, present. Sandel.
Present.
Sandel, present. Keel.
Present.
Keel, present. Bierman.
Present.
Bierman, present. Wolf.
Present.
List present. Burkle.
Present.
Burkle present. Edelson.
Present.
Edelson present. Frazier.
Present.
Frazier present. Hamilton.
Present.
Hamilton present. Liz Lagarde.
Present.
Liz Lagarde present. McDonald.
Donald present.
Donald present. Sandstead.
Present.
Sandstead present. Sundin.
Present.
Sundin present. Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Representative Sandel, do you have a motion for us?
I do, Mr. Chair. I've read the minutes of our previous meeting and move their adoption.
Representative Sandel moves the minutes of the previous meeting. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Members, we're going to take a look at a couple of bills today that we will be forwarding to Ways and Means in preparation for the final part of the legislature, the budget. So with that, I'm going to move that House File 380 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. And then I'm going to move the A1 amendment. The A1 amendment would put the bill in shape. It clarifies that the appropriation in the bill would go to the system office and not to the campuses. I don't want to get into a long discussion on that, but that's the way it is. So I would hope that you would support the amendment. So all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. The bill is now in shape. Members, this is the legislation that we had heard earlier in session. It comes from the mini session of October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in 2019, when a hearing was held at the Southeastern Technical Community College, which was extraordinarily well attended. And President Lundblad is here today. This would put us on a path to recreating a licensure and certification for what we used to call vocational education teachers. We can name them industrial education teachers or a number of different names now. I have three people who are with us today, and I'm going to call on each one of them briefly just to go over again what the bill does and why it's needed. The first on my list is Dr. Scott Olson. Dr. Olson was the co-chair of the mini session in 2019, and the resources of Winona State University were essential to making the mini session a success. So Dr. Olson, President Olson, welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. I'm Scott Olson. I'm the president of Winona State University. Thank you, legislators, for everything you do for Minnesota and for coming down for the mini session. We're still talking about it. Thank you for hearing HF 380. We're excited about the vision to have every high school graduate come out with employable skills, and we think this bill is a step in that direction. Chancellor Devinder Malhotra supports this bill. These one-time dollars help create a curriculum and then set the stage for a great future for industrial education. The Education Village is perfectly suited to do this program. You couldn't have a better location than the Education Village that you supported and that Chair Pawlowski led. The idea of this seamless pathway from Minnesota State College Southeast with technical skills to us to get a teacher license is exactly the way we can increase the number of industrial arts and science teachers in Minnesota. The program will pay for itself once we get it started because students will be enrolling and the tuition dollars will help pay for it. We think it's replicable in other parts of the state where you have partners like the good partner we have in Minnesota State College Southeast. And we're hoping that maybe there's a pathway for students who aren't traditional students, that maybe students who somebody who's already an industrial worker someplace, factory worker, whatever, who might want to come back and get a teacher's license, we might be able to figure out a good, seamless pathway for them to do that. But thank you for hearing this bill. Thank you, Chair Pawlowski, for your leadership on this.
Thank you, President Olson. Next on my list is Dr. Larry Lundblad. He's the interim president at Minnesota State College Southeast. I still have trouble with Minnesota State. I have this tendency to want to put Winona in front of everything, like Winona State University. And hopefully Winona State University will stay that way. But President Lundblad was also instrumental in the success of the mini session in 2019. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. I'm Larry Lundblad, interim president of Minnesota State College Southeast. And Chair Pawlowski gets our name right some of the time. So we appreciate all the efforts that he makes. I enthusiastically speak in favor of this bill, HF 380. There's a critical need across the state for career and technical teachers. Programs at the high schools have been scaled back. When there's a retirement, often means there's a retrenchment because of lack of faculty for replacement. The lack of programs really diminished the number of high school students who decide on careers in the technical fields and the trades. They're not exposed to the occupations in the high school, nor are they aware of the good paying jobs in these fields. There's a critical need, as you know, for replacement workers in these fields. Baby boomers are retiring. When the economy recovers, there's going to be a lot of positions required. Automation and robotics, they're picking up steam, and more data are becoming available. Big data needs to be incorporated in this automation process. And it's across a number of fields, and so there's a growing need for technicians in these areas. Unfortunately, most of the CTE programs, teacher preparation programs at our universities have gone away over the last several years. And this program is unique. It's a 2+2, as Dr. Olson was indicating. Students start at the technical college and they continue, or as Dr. Olson also pointed out, there's a pool of folks that are out there working that may think, gee, I'm ready for an occupational change, and they already have the 2 years in, and so they can start at the university and get their teaching degree. Legislature has made the investments. We have the equipment. Dr. Olson has the infrastructure for the teaching, pedagogy, professors in place. So it's just a wise use of state resources. And it really does broaden the potential pool for teacher candidates. So we're excited about this bill. It can work. We need a few dollars to get it started. Representative Hamilton and I served a number of years on the MEALC board, the Minnesota Ag Ed Leadership Council, and we've worked to expand the number of Ag Ed programs in the state, teacher preparation programs. And so Crookston got theirs back online. Minnesota State University Southwest also initiated a new program for teacher preparation for ag teachers. And so it takes a little work, but it helps to increase the pool of potential teachers. So again, very enthusiastic about this, and thank you for your support.
Next on my list is Christy Ransom. She came on board in 2019. I don't think she had been in the chamber more than a couple of weeks when we had her work with us on the mini session, and she did an outstanding job. And the Winona Chamber, their program with students has been one of the few programs in the state that where we've had a chamber instrumental with working with students at the high school level and moving them into a position literally when they're in high school or when they graduate. So welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski. Christy Ransom, President and CEO of the Winona Area Chamber of Commerce, and thank you for, again, having me here this morning. I want to say that as a representative of the business community, workforce is their number one focus at all times, as you all know. And as we have varying struggles within the workforce pool, things like our REACH program in our high school to create workforce-ready graduates from a high school level are imperative, and especially for Southeast Minnesota where manufacturing is prevalent. And I think this is something that when you look at these partnerships and how they're created and through innovation and foresight from your committee and the legislature, great things can happen. And this is one of those wonderful programs that I think will be successful and will shine a beacon for other university technical college partnerships to do the same throughout the state as this succeeds, and it will. From our perspective as a REACH program and creating workforce-ready students, it's important to note that not all students are destined for college, and some of them really want to pursue a career right out of high school that can sustain them and give them a livable wage, and this is the perfect segue to that. In addition, we are looking at expanding our REACH program to do something pretty exciting, something that's happening actually in Wisconsin with one of our neighboring communities there. And I think that we're positioned to do it even better. And without giving away the farm on what our plan is, it will require a really robust technical education staff to be able to drive that forward. Without that, it will fail. So we are hopeful that this is the answer to this struggle that most of our schools face in having technical education in the school system and being able to get students into the workforce that are ready to do that. So thank you for your leadership on this bill, Representative Pawlowski, and to the rest of the committee for moving it forward. Thank you.
Representative Sandel.
Thank you, Chair Pawlowski, and ladies and gentlemen. I'm carrying a bill, House File 710, that requires the PELSB to work with teacher training programs across the state to make sure that students who are training to be teachers have access to all of the certification programs that PELSB requires. And when online or in a hybrid course, and when such a program is not available at Minnesota schools, so that they outstate providers might offer those courses and be certified. But I was at the presentation at Southeast 2 years ago, I guess, and I was impressed with the idea that you presented. I think my bill is kind of overreaching and kind of awkward. And I really like the model that you're talking about at Winona. Would you comment on that? What do you think about requiring all teacher training programs? And I think there's something like 32 across the state, as opposed to setting up models like the teaching program at Winona, maybe three or four of those across the state, which are residential mostly.
President Lumblad, do you want to respond first?
I'm not familiar with Chair Pawlowski and Representative Sandel. I'm not familiar with your bill and you know what you're presenting. I would say that by opening it up, having a model like we're proposing at in Winona could be replicated to several of the other universities quite easily, because you have a technical community college co-located with most of our universities. So from that standpoint, there would be an expansion. I do think universities and colleges, we've all been forced with the pandemic to go online. There's certainly options that would be available for potential students in an online format as well. And Dr. Olson probably can expand more on that at the university level. At the technical college side, of course, the skills that the students are learning are hands-on. So they would have to be physically present to learn welding and auto mechanics and that type of thing.
President Olson.
Chair Pawlowski, Representative Sandel, For my colleague, Christy Ransom, I would just point out, because she's maybe not versed in this, the PELSB is the Professional Educator Licensing and Standards Board here in Minnesota. And I guess what I would say in response to Representative Sandel's comment is, I don't think this is in conflict with that. Usually, in what I've found in teacher education is you often have to have a proof of concept. We found this with the Bush grants that were about a decade ago, that when a certain institution, Winona State among them, proved that you could do something in a different, innovative way, Others then get on board and it spreads. And so I think this bill is complementary, and I think this bill will be as if it's a proof of concept that this is possible and that Minnesota can lead again when it comes to industrial arts and education and science.
Representative Sandell.
Well, thank you. I received a letter from the Minnesota Education Deans Association asking to postpone or delay the work on the bill. Well, they have a chance to talk among themselves and perhaps do some work on that and ask for some state money to do that planning. I think I'll get in touch with them, and if you don't mind, maybe getting in touch with the two of you as well and going on from there. Thanks very much. I appreciate the comments and the direction. Thank you, Chair Pawlowski.
Representative Sandell, the point of this even 2 years ago was that this program could be replicated, and I think your bill speaks to that, that once this program is up and running, we expect the other teacher colleges to take a look at it and see if they can also adopt it once it's a success. So.
Well, thank you. When I heard the bill or when I heard the conversation went on, I thought it was impressive, and I still do. So thanks.
I don't see any other questions unless someone. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just kind of stuck my hand up when you were getting done. So first of all, Chair Pawlowski, thank you very much. This is very encouraging to me. I think that I hope this is very successful and that it does spread throughout our systems. And I'm very, Dr. Lindblad, you and I have talked about the ag education and very excited to see that expand and more career. I'm just thrilled that we're talking about making sure that students are career ready for something, whether they go on to four-year college, they still have that background to be able to take care of themselves. And I share with you, my husband has a classmate who did construction trades in high school and went on to be a doctor who's just about to retirement now in the cities. And he was able to pay for his schooling. Granted, it's a little more expensive now, but he was able to pay for his schooling just by his construction trades job. And for those who may have known Mr. Gordy Tolbert, who is retired now in my area, he was instrumental in making sure that we had career and tech classes, but also helped students to be successful in that way. So I think there's just so many win-wins with this that I wish we could push it now throughout the whole state. But thank you, Chair Pawlowski, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Members, are there any other questions? Seeing none, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 380 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Would the clerk please take the roll?
Pawlowski.
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Sandell.
Aye.
Sandell, aye. Keel.
Aye.
Aye. Bierman.
Aye.
Bierman, aye. Bliss.
Aye.
Bliss, aye. Burkle?
Aye.
Burkle, aye. Edelson?
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Frazier?
Aye.
Frazier, aye. Hamilton?
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Liz Lagarde?
Aye.
Liz Lagarde, aye. McDonald?
McDonald, aye.
McDonald, aye. Sandsted?
Aye.
Sandsted, aye. Sundin. Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. 13 ayes, 0 nays.
The motion prevails and the bill is passed on to Ways and Means. Members, before we get to the next bill, the reason why we're passing these individually comes out of a discussion last week with Speaker Hartman and Chair Moran. Because of the differences in committees, we're going to be putting these bills in Ways and Means and then matching them up with the correct omnibus bill that will line it up perfectly when we go to conference committee. I would, of course, hope and have been advocating that more individual bills should go to the House floor. And if we can send it to the House floor all by itself, I would certainly welcome bills going to the House floor individually. That was what we did at one time, and I think it was a much better way to legislate. But for now, we'll pass them individually to Ways and Means and see what happens. The next bill on the agenda is House File 14 and Representative Eklund, and I think I saw Representative Eklund. Representative Eklund, I will move House File 14 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. We've already heard this bill before, but now we're going to be passing it to Ways and Means. So Representative Eklund, why don't you go over the bill briefly, and then you have a list of testifiers.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And this is a pretty simple bill for the needs of Minnesota. You know, broadband should no longer be a luxury. It's a necessity, and I think we've seen that in the last year with distance learning, telehealth, all the things that we've been have had to deal with the pandemic. What the bill does, Mr. Chair and members, is appropriates $60 million a year FY22 and $60 million a year in FY23 to the Office of Broadband for their broadband grant program. With that, Mr. Chair and members, I have there is a list of testifiers that will speak to the merits of the bill.
The first I have is Vince Robinson, Minnesota Rural Broadband Coalition. Mr. Robinson, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Vince Robinson, and I chair the Minnesota Rural Broadband Coalition. Thank you, Chair Pelosi, for making broadband funding a committee priority this year. Appreciate that, as in the past. And thank you to Representative Eckling and continued leadership on this issue. I'll make my comments very short. You've heard from me before on this topic. Coalition continues to support the $120 million in ongoing funding for the border-to-border grant program. This is per the recommendation of the Governor's Broadband Task Force. We know that there's a state budget surplus, and in addition to the state and local assistance that will be coming from the American Rescue Plan, we feel that this is a great opportunity to make a significant investment in broadband for our state. And obviously, we've talked about this before, the spotlight that the pandemic has put on broadband. Had we been making stronger investments in the past, many of our communities could have avoided some of the, devastating circumstances that they faced without broadband available to them. I just implore you to not let that happen again in the future and push for this funding and get these communities hooked up. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm open to any questions.
All right, I'm going to go through the testifiers and then we'll have questions. Next on my list is Terrell Clark, County Commissioner, Stearns County. County Commissioner Clark, welcome to the committee and welcome back to the legislature. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I am Stearns County Commissioner and current board chair, Terrell Clark. It is great to be here this morning. I want to thank you, Chair Pulaski, for the opportunity to testify briefly today and for your commitment, as has already been stated, to making broadband a committee priority. I want to just give a few examples about how important this is to Minnesotans in all walks of life all across the state. My comments today are on behalf of the Minnesota Inter-County Association, the Association of Minnesota Counties, and clearly reflect the priorities of Stearns County's board. Thank you to Chair Eklund for authoring House File 14 and for championing increased funding for the state border-to-border broadband grant program. I personally, and I think people across state agree that broadband is now a necessity, it is not a luxury. Even after significant past investment and state grant funds, there remains 5,362 underserved parcels and 4,443 unserved parcels in Stearns County alone. We frequently hear stories about home businesses that have to shut down when school kids come home so they can dedicate the broadband access to the children for homework. Parents appreciate the schools providing their children with laptops, but complain they cannot be used due to lack of access, or they need to sit outside libraries or other places with Wi-Fi, not exactly the optimal location for doing homework. Farmers who are unable to use the high-tech equipment that could be available to them if there was decent broadband, small businesses who need high-speed internet to meet customer demand and to manage their businesses, and that was before COVID hit us. House File 14 would fully fund the governor's broadband task force recommendations by appropriating $60 million in each of the next 2 years. We strongly agree that that level of funding is clearly needed. In Stearns alone, we estimate the cost of connecting roughly 3,500 homes in the Belgrade-Bruton-El Rosa area to be about $24 million. The need crosses community and county lines throughout our state. You see the need in each of your districts, and the continued high demand for state grant funds confirms that Stearns is not alone. Statewide grant requests were more than twice available funds in each of the past 2 years. As a member of the National County Association's Broadband Task Force, I can also tell you that communities and states across the country are prioritizing broadband investment. To remain competitive, we must continue to prioritize border-to-border broadband like the core public infrastructure it is, infrastructure that's needed by Minnesota businesses, by students in primary, secondary, higher ed, and lifelong learners, by seniors and families to help them stay connected, by medical and mental health professions, community leaders, dare I say the courts, and on, that the importance of high-speed internet access for all Minnesotans simply cannot be overstated and was clearly highlighted by the COVID pandemic. Thank you again, Chair Eklund, for authoring House File 14 and the opportunity, Chair Pulaski and members. With me today is Matt Mossman, Executive Director of the Minnesota Inter-County Association, and we'll both be available for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Anna Boroff is next, Minnesota Cable Association. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Anna Boroff, and I am the Executive Director of the Minnesota Cable Communications Association. So good morning. Minnesota Cable would like to thank Representative Eklund for his thoughtful understanding of how broadband funding and policy impacts the entire state. We appreciate the committee's work towards our shared goal of ensuring that all Minnesotans have access to high-quality broadband. For years, Minnesota Cable's members have leveraged the state border-to-border grant program to reach unserved areas of Minnesota. The Office of Broadband Development's broadband coverage map show that the state grant program has helped reduce the percentage of unserved areas. So this program has effectively targeted funding towards the most difficult and expensive areas to serve. And these grants have also helped leverage the billions in private capital investments by providers like my members to expand their networks across Minnesota. Minnesota Cable has not advocated for a specific amount of funding for the broadband grant program in the past, recognizing the many priorities that legislators balance. However, given the influx of federal funds and the shrinking number of unserved areas, we believe it's time for a robust discussion about how much more state money is necessary to bridge the final gaps in broadband access. So for some perspective, Minnesota has 157,000 unserved households left to reach the state's 2022 speed goal, and 256,000 households left towards the 2026 goal of 100 over 20 service. So this year's state grant round, as just announced a few weeks ago by the Office of Broadband, that will cover about 7,000 more of those locations. Additionally, DEED just announced the Small Cities HUD CARES Act funding for broadband, so that will dedicate another $25 million to broadband expansion, which I believe will be allocated this year. And as you know, the federal government announced $408 million in rural digital opportunity funds will be awarded in our state. Minnesota Cable members are among the recipients of those RDOF funds that will cover 142,841 of the unserved locations in Minnesota at speeds that will meet or exceed the 2026 speed goals. And those RDOF buildouts will take place over the next 6 years. The American Rescue Plan, passed by Congress and signed by the president, will allocate state and local recovery funds, of which broadband infrastructure is an eligible use. So Minnesota will receive almost $4.8 billion from the American Rescue Plan. Unlike the CARES Act funding that you might have heard was able to be used for broadband as well last year, it was used by Minnesota counties and other local governments to invest in broadband builds. These funds, it sounds like, have a longer timeline in which they might be expended. These are not the only federal funds coming into Minnesota, so Alternative Connect American Cost Model Funds, or ACAM, accounts for another $65 million a year through at least 2026, and there are still some Connect American or CAF2 funds available. So when you add those federal funds to the already significant private sector investments taking place, this means the availability of contractors and supplies are going to be in high demand. So Minnesota Cable believes that the level of state funding for the border-to-border program in the next biennium should take into consideration all of the federal funding and ensure that the state broadband grants are not used to deploy broadband in areas that are already served. If those state funds are spent in areas that are already funded by federal sources, this would put the Office of Broadband, you know, inappropriately in the position of favoring a competitor in a market with a broadband subsidy, and that's never been the goal of the state's broadband grant program. So lastly, the unserved household numbers that I referenced earlier only count wireline connections. They don't count wireless broadband connections. And so as we watch technology change and improve access across the state, we think a conversation about what type of broadband service counts towards the state broadband goals is overdue. So Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for your opportunity to share our thoughts about these important topics. Thank you for your support for broadband across the state. And I am happy to answer questions either now or at the end. Thank you.
Ms. Boroff, thank you. We're going to hold off on questions, but I'll make one observation. First of all, thank you for bringing up the federal money. I had requested this in conversations I'd had with you over the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to continue to make those requests. I am looking forward to having a hearing on the federal, both the past and then the current federal allotments for broadband or cable or however they're describing it and however they're going to dole it out over the next 6 years. But frankly, we just don't have enough information yet to have a hearing. When we get the information, we will have a detailed hearing because I do share a concern about what we're going to do with the state allotment and then what the federal government's going to do. And we certainly don't need to overlap. We could target our dollars much better if we knew exactly what the federal government is going to do. So members, we anticipate another hearing on this as soon as we get all the information. Next on my list, Monty Moreau. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Chair Pawlowski, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Monty Morrow. I'm with Nuvera. We are a rural telecommunications, broadband, and cable TV provider located in central and southern Minnesota. We serve 28 communities, including Hutchinson, Prior Lake, and our headquarters in New Ulm. I also currently serve as the chair of the Minnesota Telecom Alliance's Legislative Committee, and I'm here today testifying on behalf of both my company and behalf of the other member companies of MTA. The MTA membership is a mix of family-owned companies, cooperatives, privately held, and publicly traded companies. While MTA members may have different corporate structures, one thing we have in common is our commitment to serve broadband in rural Minnesota. I appreciate the opportunity to tell you about our personal involvement in the border-to-border grant program. Nuvera has participated in all rounds of grant applications from 2015 to 2019. We have applied for and been awarded approximately $2.4 million to build to 758 subscribers. Nuvera has matched approximately $3.4 million for total cost projects of over $5.8 million. This summer, we will be building to another 740 customers at a cost of approximately $5.4 million. The grants we receive are instrumental in my company's decision to build to these rural consumer customers. Also, the two-year funding greatly assists us in developing the construction projects. Many of our projects are continuations of previous builds, and this is vital to how we engineer. Without the grants, it would definitely have taken us a lot longer to build out to these customers. The customer counts I just mentioned are a bit conservative. Nuvera has always built projects capable of serving more rural customers than targeted in our project applications. We're very proud of that. Also, the grant projects are not in lieu of our capital spending plans, but in addition to. Mr. Chair, members, this program works. It leverages local investments made in business plans that, quite frankly, otherwise wouldn't. I'm fortunate also enough to participate in a National Telecom Alliance as well. The Minnesota model, as it's referred to, is the envy of the rest of the states. I'd also be remiss if I didn't mention that OBD does an incredible job. We've done a lot over the past year of the program, but I'll tell you, we've got a lot more to do. We greatly appreciate your support in getting this vital to service to more customers every day. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and I look forward to questions at the end.
Next on my list, Daniel Larson, Minnesota Rural Counties. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members, happy to be with you this morning. Dan Larson, Executive Director, Minnesota Rural Counties, 35 counties outside the Twin Cities metro area, and the only organization to advocate specifically for rural county concerns. Pleasure to be with you today to talk about this very important issue. So MRC is a member in good standing with the Minnesota Rural Broadband Coalition, and why shouldn't we be? If there ever was an issue that's in the wheelhouse of rural counties, this is it. Education, culture, medicine, business, government, like the very meeting that we're participating in today, all dependent on an affordable and adequate internet connection. And today, members, 20% of the state, an estimated 20%, is still Minnesotans unserved and underserved, and really on the dark side of the broadband universe. So, and during COVID, I might add that connection is a veritable lifeline to the outside world. So MRC supports the bill, appreciate Representative Eklund's commitment and the commitment of the dozen or so members who have signed on to the bill, which represents something that's hard to come by these days, broad bipartisan support.
Members, any questions?
Oh, Mr. Chair?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
I stop too long? Yeah, no, after I make a strong point like that, I have to collect myself. And so I just got a couple of things left.
I fully understand. I apologize. Okay. If you want to repeat it again, that's okay too.
Can I start from the top or can I just keep
going? I would just repeat your strong point if that might be enough.
Okay, so we've been on this funding at MRC since inception, and I'll never fail. Here's another strong point, and I think you might like this. We never fail to recognize the leadership that you as legislators have provided as a body. You've funded the vision that's been established by the State Broadband Task Force. And that vision has had significant input from user groups like the Coalition. So the commitment to this broadband funding, to the grants program, has elevated Minnesota to leadership status around the nation and a model for other states to follow. But it's no secret that there's more to do. So just in sports parlance, we are in the red zone, and we're at that point where the last 15 or 20 yards are the hardest to get across the goal line. But the best feature in this bill that will help accomplish that is the part about funding the base. So we've been concerned about the greater portion of the state already funded. The hardest part, the low-hanging fruit, if you will, is gone, and the hardest part is yet to be done. So, so we're committed to working with you as a committee and your leadership to advocate for full funding for this bill and to fund and that the funding should go to Deeds Base. So the need is defined and the funding is defensible. So our message to the legislature is think big, be bold, and thank you again for all the work you've done.
Representative Sandstedt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank you and thank Representative Eklund for this bill. Representative Eklund, I know that you have really championed this issue for the last couple of terms or bienniums, and thank you for not letting up on this issue. The district that I represent is really primarily the economic driver is one type of industry, and it's a boom-bust type of industry. Without investments in broadband, we are struggling to diversify, and we desperately need that. And it goes beyond just diversifying an economy. It's healthcare. It's also our education. So this is a very important bill, and I appreciate your hard work, not just this year, but in the years leading up to this. And thank you for bringing it forward.
Any other questions from other members? I don't see any. What's nice today is we get to see Representative Eklund. If you remember last year, particularly when we were starting doing everything remotely, we could only hear him because he was in his home and the only connection he had was audio. So he's in his office today. And I think there have been some improvements since last year with Representative Eklund remotely, but that we've seen the crisis visually in our committees and in our work at the legislature. So Representative Eklund, last word is yours.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And you stole my line, but the committee and members, if you remember when I presented this bill in January, I think, or maybe early February, I was in a rented office because I wasn't sure that my connection at my house would work. And people talk, Ms. Borov talked about the upcoming speeds. I don't know what 25 up and 3 down or 100 up and 20 down means. I just know that it doesn't work at my house and it doesn't work at a lot of other folks' houses. So I ask for your support on this bill and thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
All right. With that, seeing no further questions, I'll renew my motion that House Bill 14 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. The clerk will take the roll.
Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Sandel.
Aye.
Sandel, aye. Keel.
Keel, aye.
Keel, aye. Bierman.
Aye.
Bierman, aye. Bliss.
Aye.
Bliss, aye. Burkle.
Aye.
Burkle, aye. Edelson.
Aye.
Edelson, aye. Frazier.
Aye.
Frazier, aye. Hamilton.
Aye.
Hamilton, aye. Liz Lagarde.
Aye.
Liz Lagarde, aye. McDonald.
McDonald, aye.
McDonald, aye. Sandsted.
Aye.
Sandsted, aye. Sundin.
Aye.
Sundin, aye. 13 ayes, 0 nays.
The motion prevails and House Bill 14 is on its way to Ways and Means. Mr. Larson is still with us. I like the idea of the pause. I've used something different in my teaching. I've repeated strong points 3 times slowly. So either way works well, but the pause did catch me off guard. So thank you all. Any other business before the committee? Seeing none, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.